Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Okay, so just this evening, we're going to go back to business. And from where we stopped on Sunday, are we here together? While I was praying, just seated here, now what came to my spirit, I don't know if it's, but I know it's just very simple. I don't know how cliche it is, but I don't know if it is. That pursuit is the proof of passion. Pursuit is the proof of passion. I think I don't know if I've heard it before, but I know that's something around, but I just heard what I heard in my spirit. Now that means that you cannot claim to be passionate about something if you will not go after it. Pursuit is the proof of passion. If you are really passionate about something, you will go after it with all your life. Pursuit is the proof of passion. Pursuit is the proof of passion. Was it last week or the other week? I talked about desire. Now, I want you to pay attention to the words that I'm bringing to the table this season. Desire. The psalmist says, as the deer panted after the water brook, so my soul longs. That's pursuit, is that not? And pursuit usually will stem from a desire to get something. If you desire to get a particular article, maybe a phone or something, you go the extra mile saving up for it. You overlook many other offers, all the things they are asking you to buy, because you have found one thing that is most important to you. Am I communicating? And as soon as you discover that thing, all your life, you every money that is given to you, you just take it up. And people are like, why are you starving yourself? And you're like, I know what I want to buy. That's my gadget. If I get it, my business will change. So sometimes people spend 6 months, you know, saving up to buy a particular, even cars. Now let's talk about it in light of marriage. The times that I have met guys that are in love with girls, you think girls are the ones that fall in love. Guys too, they lose their sense. If a guy is really in love with a girl, he can be out of his mind. If he sees that in his future transaction with that lady, most of whatever he will become in life is dependent on it, his heart will break. He will cry. He will pursue. He will ask, what did I do? What did I not do? Da, 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 da. Questions will start coming. Why? Because desire to have is there. Every other thing doesn't matter. Every other thing doesn't count. We see it mostly with ladies. We have told her, she will not hear, she will not hear. But even guys, the same thing. If he has done his calculation very well and he has seen that this woman in his life settled, he will pursue it all his life. If they set a goal in front of you and they say, whoever wins this particular thing, at the end of the year, we're going to settle you with maybe just as small as $5,000. It's okay, we're going to give you $5,000 at the end of the year if you're able to do this. What that trophy, what that goal that has been set does is that it stirs in you desire. Then from desire, there will be pursuit. Am I communicating? So you begin to pursue after that thing passionately because you know that I need this thing. So there are many things you will discard. You will disregard many just because you want that particular thing. Nothing else will matter. Nothing else will count. So my question today is, are people really passionate about God? Because if you are passionate, you will pursue. Do you have a desire and a longing to build a quality relationship with Him? If you have that, you will pursue. When he left the 99 going for one, he had a desire. His pursuit was proof of his passion for us. The Bible says God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for the ungodly. In other words, his death was as a result of something superior that he had seen in you and in me. Then he said, I will go all out till I get this. And he did. He did. Now, looking at that sacrifice, what are you supposed to do in turn? You know, some people have been in church for so long that even messages of spiritual awakening and revival have become like motivational talks to them. It's a sign of a dead spirit. It's a sign of a dead spirit. That the spirit of the man is dead. It doesn't respond to life. So when you talk life, eternal life, it doesn't respond. That's what happens when we go to preach to people outside and they are not born again. There's no connection. There's no nothing in them will connect with the depth of what we are saying. Except God has to steer faith in their hearts. If faith does not come alive, they will never believe anything you're saying. They will never believe it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Am I communicating? So, I want you to have that understanding. I want you to sink. The reason you are not pursuing after God, the reason you are not pursuing after His ways, the reason you are not pursuing after Him the way you should, is because you lack passion and desire. If you have passion, if you have desire, you'll pursue. But sir, I know, passion and desire is like many waters. It's like love that many waters cannot quench. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love. You know what that means? Many waters cannot quench love. That means no matter how, if somebody is really, you know, passionately in love and they are, you know, they will go all out. When you read the book of Songs of Solomon, you see the journey of the Shulamite, you know, with Solomon. Then you see, you have a blueprint of experience. I have pursued after keeping other people's vineyard. My own, I have not done anything about. Then the Shulamite said, hence I am dark, because I am pursuing after something that is priority to me. If I get it, I won't have issue. The darkness will be clear, because the darkness of my person now is for light that I am pushing for. If I get, you know what I'm saying now? If I get that relationship, everything will be clear. Nobody, my respect will heighten. People will look at me with a different, because I have connected with my lover. One of the things that we will have to emphasize in this end time is the need for people to pursue after God passionately, have a desire. But you see, when you say pursue, I need to ask, what is the root of pursuit? That's part of questions in my head when I now realize that it's desire, passion. Sometimes people will say, oh, passion can even lead to obsession. Obsession is another level that is supposed to be extreme. But when obsession comes to the things of God, as far as you have not lost your natural sense, you have not lost your natural senses, you know that I am pursuing right. You're too serious about this thing. You're laughing. When you sing songs and you say, only you can satisfy me, only you can satisfy my soul, satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. When you meet addicts and the substance of their addiction is withdrawn from them, they will be almost at the point of death. There will be what you call withdrawal symptoms. You didn't read the Bible. You didn't pray. No fellowship with believers. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you are very normal. That's dangerous. There should be a kind of withdrawal symptom. Like, I'm missing the whole world. Something is missing. Why am I like this? Some people have become so comfortable with that level until they can do it for 1 month. Some have done it for 3 months. And
They have now gotten used to it. God is now an option amongst the many things that they will choose from. He's no longer their priority. He's no longer their number one. He's now just one amongst the rest. I want you to quietly pray and say, God, you will never be one amongst the rest in my life. It will not be heard that you are an option in my life. You are my only. You are not an option, God. May it not be heard. I want you to pray and say, God, help me, that it will not be said that you have become an option in my life. May I not be so cold that I cannot pick signals when it looks like I am straying from you. Jesus. Zufenia aziz kapai kapona taredesh. Vreneko subabai de runo mosko paradesh. Raka swan de rushko reke swana gagagagagagagagagagash. Rika bosone getele bosana na 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 na. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more closely, day by day. To see thee more clearly and love thee more dearly, follow you more closely day by day. So we started this council on Sunday and we talked about the fact that to go somewhere means to suddenly cut them off without reasons. So you decide to stop talking to somebody, you decide to stop having conversations with them, but they are not aware. So they just realize that you're not picking their calls, you're not replying their messages or chats, you're not coming to the same place you would normally have fellowship or gist, the joint, something like that. So you're automatically ghosting the person. Are we here together? And we laid the foundation on Sunday by quickly going to the signs that you are withdrawn from God. Because in this context, we're talking about ghosting, and we said that God doesn't ghost anybody. He's always present, ever present, always speaking, never silent. But the problem is that the farther you are, the more blurry your vision. The farther you are, the more difficult your ability to hear him. So James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and I will draw near to you. Are we here together? So there is a context, there's that understanding, that point in your life where you say, I want to draw near to God. And I'll go about my business, I'll go about my work, I'll go about every other thing, but I want to draw near to God. There are some people that God will call out of everything for a season. Not to say, I don't have anything I'm doing. Structures probably have been put in place. And if you believe that God calls you for a season to be permanently off everything and you eventually turn to a beggar, something is wrong. The only proof that God called you is that he will supply your needs. So you can, if you believe it's calling you and you go through that solitude, that period of separation from normal mundane activities, there must be proof. And the proof is that he's supplying your needs. Are we here together? Yeah. So it's possible for God to call somebody and say, come out. Like God called Paul, and Paul went to Asia and he went for training. And when he came back, he had sharpened his senses in God, his discernment, his depth of understanding and knowledge, and multiple revelations that Paul had about Jesus. Are we here together? Yes. So that's possible. But we're talking about the everyday life of basically just following God, pursuing God, studying the word. When people talk about the difficulty of serving God, I usually would draw them back to the basics. You are not doing the basics. If you do the basics, you will not feel he is far. You will not feel you are far. The basics. Are we here together? And what's the basics? What are the basics? I was reading something by He's an old-time writer. Can't pick the name fully now. And he said that if a person is not praying, they are not praying for a while. The way he said it, it was sounding very harsh, but if you have connected with prayer and you know that living any day or 2 days without praying looks to you like you have lost a golden chance, you know, treasure or something, you will want to pray. So he said that if somebody is not praying, it is proof that maybe they don't even have God at all. Because if you have, you'll be dependent on him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And prayer is a sign of dependence on God. Prayer is a sign that you are totally dependent on God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this evening? Is it very cold? You want energy? Energy. Somebody is new to our church and they say, ah, that's the pastor. That's why they preach. No, that's not how I preach. I choose to do this today. So let's do this together. Number one, we set the sign. Somebody help me. Let's do that. Number one, sign that a person has started drawing back from God, drawing away. Number one is what? The number one of first service is different from number one of second service. So let's start with the number one of first service, and we'll be mixing it with the number one of second service. Are we here together? Then we know where we are. Number one is what? Reduce commitment to kingdom service. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Every other thing shall be added to you. So as soon as you begin to reduce your commitment to kingdom service involves evangelism, it involves intercession. When you talk about kingdom service, it's not just carrying of tables and chairs and being in the media department. You know, that's not all about kingdom service. Kingdom service is intercession. Kingdom service is pursuing after souls. Kingdom service is ensuring that you are partnering with the kingdom to go far as much as you can. So it involves both physical activities with your skills, your gifts, your talents, your abilities. It involves your finances. It involves your giving of time to intercession and praying for believers, praying for souls, that souls will be won all over the world. When you start praying for souls and you start praying for sinners, one of the things you realize is that if you don't have a burden, it will be a dry prayer. Your prayer is dry because there's no burden. You didn't even hear that. It is dry because there's no what? Sometimes you start praying dry, then in the midst of the prayer, God drops a burden in your heart. You notice you switch gear. Yeah. You notice you switch because he has given you something to hold on to in the place of prayer. So there's nothing wrong with starting, and it's as if there's nothing, but press to the point where you get a burden. If you've not gotten a burden and you just do the normal prayer people do, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for us. I'm going out this morning, bless the name of Jesus. As I eat, bless the food, Lord. In the midst of your morning prayer, you're already praying, bless this food, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Something is wrong. There's no food in front of you. It shows that you are praying dry prayer that has no basis. It's not going anywhere. If you know, you know how children pray, when you ask children to pray, and you say, bring a child here, maybe six or something, and the child starts to pray, Father, Lord, bless my daddy and my mommy, in the name of Jesus, bless my food, provide for us. That's what the child will say. If you bring the child to pray tomorrow again, what would the child say? Bless my daddy and my mommy, bless my food, whatever. Next tomorrow, what would the child say? The proof that the child is growing is that you now bring the child to pray, then you hear new lines. You say, is it that somebody has taught you new lines, or you have caught something new? So if it is your old lines, you are still a baby. What burden has God given to you? What are the things in your spirit? When God begins to count you worthy, and he can put the names of people in your heart and say, for the next 1 month, pray for this person. Sometimes it might be somebody that you are so jealous about, and God is saying, pray for their success more and more. Pray that they will not go down. Because every time you see them on Instagram, you wish they go down. But God will continue to raise them, and you continue to feel bitter until you realize that God doesn't work that way. You have to be praying, especially when people are doing well in God and you feel like they are outdoing you. You might be in the church. Only that one then they call. God will give you work. You don't know God. If he gives you work, he will tell you, I'm giving you assignment the next 2 months. That's your prayer point. For the next 2 months, all your prayer will be dry until you start praying for that person. Then you realize that, he doesn't want iniquity to be found in Jacob. Secret sin, that's bitterness. that grudges. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here now? He wants to build you. He wants you to be strong. That's the desire of God. By the time we're done today, by the grace of God, we'll find little time to see if we can just pray a little bit and take one or two questions, because I know people will have questions. Number two is what? So if you're in first service, you start adding up your notes. Lack of passion for spiritual growth. Yes. The Bible says, as newborn babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word, that you will grow thereby. If you are not passionate, and I said proof of passion is what? Pursuit. If you are not pursuing after the need to grow, spiritual growth doesn't mean anything to you again. Something is wrong. You are not thinking that you should grow. You just feel like, I'm okay where I am. You are drawing back from God. Nobody needs to tell you. The signs and the symptoms are proof that this is where you are. So you need to come out. You need to tell yourself, I will not be here again. Am I communicating? Number three, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5, it says, forsaking not the gathering of ourselves as the manner of some people. So there are some people that will forsake. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, as the manner of some people is, they will not, knowing and seeing that the day is approaching. He's asking us to pay attention to fellowshipping together, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some. So when people say things like God is in the heart, I'm worshiping God in my heart, they are already drawing back. There are people who started worshiping God in their hearts, but the past 1 year they've not gone to church. The past 2 years they've not gone to church. And they will say, I'm worshiping God in my heart. I'm worshiping God in my heart. You are not. You are disobeying a practical instruction of scripture, forsaking not the assembly. So what you need to do is to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry about this. And we know when you realize something, the next thing to do is to do what? Repent. It's not to argue it. No. Even when I was doing it in my house alone, I was enjoying God. It's a lie. Check very well. You were never enjoying what you thought you were enjoying. There's something about the fellowship of brothers. There's something about corporate worship. There's something about Christianity was never designed to be a faith practiced in isolation. Never. Never. Go and check. There are two ways to practice Christianity. Yes, there is the personal fellowship with God, and there must be the corporate. If it is only corporate and you have no personal, we tell you that you are dry. If it is personal and you have no corporate, we also tell you that something is missing. It has to be both. And that's why God gave them the Sabbath, when he would tell them, do not do any work in that day. That day is supposed to be a day where you stay. Don't even cook. You know what that means? Whatever you got the day before, eat that one. And they will eat whatever it is, just because he wants them to create time and just be alone. Just spend time with me. It's a day of fellowship. It's the day where everybody has to come together in corporate worship and have a good time. That's Sabbath. And the Bible says now that Jesus is the Lord of the what? Sabbath. And if Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, unto him shall the gathering of his people be. So every time we gather in the church, whether you choose a Monday or a Friday or a Tuesday, whichever day we have chosen to gather, you know, like that, it is Sabbath. Now, the early church now outdid themselves. They were now meeting daily. So every day in the evening, when they go for their work, farm and everything, and they come back in the evening, they retire where? The Solomon's porch, the temple. And they start sharing things in breaking bread. At the point, they were not giving them space in the temple. They said, everybody go and start doing it in your houses. So all of you living in this place, stay together. That's one. And all of you, stay together. And they started having small cell fellowship. And they grew like that. So as soon as your passion for God begins to dwindle, fellowshipping with the brethren, something is wrong. Number three. The number one of first service is prioritizing the world over God. Is that? So let's take it so that I can follow my order here. Prioritizing the world over God. The Bible says in James chapter 4 verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity. You don't know what enmity means. When James was speaking that thing, he knew what he was saying. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You become so much a friend with the world, he says you have made yourself an enemy of God. Adulterers and adulteresses were addressing them. Now, what adultery here and adulteress here has to do with you going after another when you have one. Are we here together? So this is spiritual adultery. It wasn't really talking about that they were sleeping with other people. Are we here together? It's talking more about the fact that when you begin to pursue other things apart from God, you begin to cheat on God, you're seen as an adulterer and adulteress. Spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. And we have many of them in church today. They're spiritual adulterers. There's something else that is more important to them. God is a second. So when they go after this one, they will still come to God. And this God we serve is Jehovah El Kana, the jealous God. He's so jealous. His name is Jealous. He said, I, the Lord my God, my name is what? Jealous. In other words, I can't even stand it. Sharing my temple with another, I can't stand it. That's the God we serve. Why? Because of what he did, he expects that we will do so much more for him. Are we here together? So look at it now. It says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Can't be a Christian born again and you're going to club. Something is wrong. You're comfortable on Friday nights. There. I'm very comfortable on Sunday morning too. Here. Something is wrong. There are two extreme. I don't know if you get what I'm saying now. It's two opposites. Something is wrong. That's not the place for a believer. Have you seen in the Bible where the Bible talks about believers not even attending parties that their so-called maybe old friends organize? It calls wild parties. Wild parties. It's my friend. So you call yourself my friend and you organize. Why is it that your friend organized such? That should not be a friend. It should be an acquaintance, maybe a neighbor around. Because your real friends are people you should pour your heart. So you can only befriend them because you want to bring them out, not them dragging you in. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say now? You're not preaching love. That's not how to preach love. Jesus Christ went after unbelievers, is that not? And he reached out. But the goal was to do what? Get their attention. They were not able to corrupt him. But the believers of today, many of them are not properly discipled and strong. So they can't even stand some things. By the time they start teasing them and say, you small boy, you don't even drink small. So yeah, see now, you're falling. Just somebody teasing you. Say, if you be man, you go shram. If man, you go shram. Then the next thing you say, you are the watch now. Then they give you the type they give people now that is slow-mo like this. They will give people things that will kill them. They will continue. You know, say, you don't know Satan. Normal. I say it. I know, very wicked. They know all those things they do. Weaken the nerves. Those people will never have an old age. They ate their future in their present. There will be never a strength for old age. There will never be a time in their life where they will have opportunity to lead a sound and a beautiful life towards the later days of their life. Why? Satan has eaten their future in the present. Number five is spiritual apathy. If we're putting it together, yes, that means you are now indifferent. Are we here together now? We are indifferent about the things of God. It doesn't make any sense and all that. Then number six, I like number six. I didn't give that in any of the services. I'm not sure. Lack of conviction over sin. Lack of conviction over sin. Have you met people? You know, I've had a couple of, you know, people come to me and they say things like, okay, maybe they made mistakes, you know, and oh, I made a mistake. I particularly remember someone, very person is not around us here, but was saying that the reason I'm calling you, sir. I said, why? He said, but he's a Christian. I said, I don't understand. He's a Christian. We sing, we do the things of God. And each time we find ourselves, I cry, I'm weak. But he's encouraged, he'll be encouraging me. Where sin abound, grace abounds much more. Jesus has forgiven all our sins already, past, present, and future. Praise God. And I've heard that thing. When people are at the point where they want to do something bad desperately, they become preachers of evil. And they preach it passionately and they have scriptures to back it up. You've not seen that? People have scriptures. They will show you in the Bible. You are becoming too righteous. David slept with Uriah's wife. Was it a good thing? Did God endorse it? Everything you see in the Bible, did you see, even with good people that God loved, did God endorse it? As soon as you are dead, so the point where you don't know the difference between sin and living a righteous life, sign, you have gone very far. Where you can justify sin, conveniently justifying it. Before, when you do something wrong, you feel bad about it. And that's remorse that should lead to repentance. Then now your remorse button is dead. So you're now very comfortable with it and you're saying, there is nothing I really can do about it now. It is my weakness. Forget these things. I've told you, any day you give yourself a weak point, Satan will use it to kill you. Don't ever accept that anything is your weak point. Not to the hearing of Satan. He'll finish you with it. Because you have said it, he will even make you justify it. And you'll be very comfortable until you're finished. Don't ever accept it. It is my weak point. No. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. The area where the devil is thinking you are weak, you say, I am what? I am strong. So you're doing things that are not godly. You're doing things that make no sense, but you are okay. That guy is convincing the girl just because he wants to enter her pants. He convinces her passionately until she falls. Then when she falls, they cry and she's crying. And I say, why are you crying? You're a small girl. Jesus. That is like the captain of hell, Satan, standing and preaching a sermon. And some other ladies are the baddies. Now the guy is feeling like, oh, I made a mistake. Say, are you a small boy? Leave that thing, let me tell you. Leave that thing. Leave that thing. Leave that thing. And you are comfortable because of what you think you want to get, sexual pleasure. And you say, leave that thing. No. The heart of repentance. The heart of repentance. Where is it? Many people don't consider that a gain. They are not repentant. Repentance is proof that what you did, you are ready to take responsibility for it. I'm sorry. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? So whenever you do something, you find yourself in a place where something, you should be sorry and say, Lord, I am sorry about this. Not to be comfortable. Not. So today we even have believers that permanently have pills that married women use in their marriage for what you call it now, child control. But she's not married. She has the pills. Some guys have gone the extra mile that they have bought it permanently, so they know what to give when she comes. Why did we get? How did we get there now? How? It shouldn't be like that. We should be sincerely remorseful. And many times people are thinking that they are smart about it. You're not being smart. You're supposed to repent and come out of that place. And how do I, the right word, I don't know if it's to say abhor. I'm looking for good, big grammar. Mourn your sin. Is anybody get what I'm saying now? Many people don't mourn their sin anymore. They don't mourn their sin, so they are very comfortable with it. They are comfortable with it.
Praise God. Are we good? By the way, who played drums today? You played drums? It was wonderful. I was enjoying myself. Yes. Amen. Yeah, we have very good drummers. Is that Israel or Jer? What are you going to have? Jeremy, Sam, all of them. Very good. You are blessed. So, we need to come to that place where we understand that these things, they matter. Are we here together? So let's rush through because I want to take questions. Let's rush through. When I get to the point where I really want to hammer, I want to teach something before we... Number 8 is what? Okay, now have you gotten the point? There's this sign that people should watch out for, and I know a lot of people feel, they know. Loss of hope and joy in your walk with God. Your joy is, you just know that you're not excited about anything again. It's just dry. You have lost your joy. You have lost your hope. Not. It's just there. You just know that it's not there. And these things, sometimes you need to create time and leave the comfort of your home. Maybe, you know, just find time. Maybe a public holiday. I didn't remember to post because I was out. I wanted to post a public holiday for people to have a challenge. You know, maybe read 10 chapters today or 12 chapters. Just challenge yourself. You're not going anywhere. That's the day people will now fix themselves in the net. Netflix. Morning till night. 4 hours. 6 hours. You know, the way life is, somebody cannot kill himself. Oh, well, cannot play. Make Jack a dull boy. There's always something to justify everything. That would have been an extra day to press a little bit and say, oh, if I've been doing 1 hour before, I'll do 1 hour, 30 minutes in prayer today. I'll add extra time to my, you know, study of the word of God. Then I'll, you know, do other things. I will get what I'm saying now. But that's the day people will now discover, you know, and you know, the devil is very smart and the world is already, or is on auto smart. It's not even any devil work, it's auto. You just see that there's a new movie. Hey, click. Oh. Your joy
for God is no longer there. So you come to church, but you are dragging. You come to church, but you know that there's nothing real. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? That's a sign that you are drawing back from God. That's a serious sign that you are drawing back from God. Then another sign is feeling distant. You feel like God is far. So just feel like God is far. Just feel like God is not far. You are far. You are far. God is never far. Get to know that. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So if he looks like he is far, it's because you are far. So what are you supposed to do? Create time and stay with him again. Create time. Don't let your job be more important to you than God. Don't let your business. You know, we live in a world where secular humanism is the most common thing. And everybody now feels like the way they decide to serve God is the right way. Nobody should tell me the way. But there's a way in scripture. There's a prescription. We're not even serving God the way some of these people served God those days. Because they were not in a world that is this so-called civilized and busy. And this one will say, 5 times a day, did I seek the face of God? How many people seek for 5 times a day? Only those of us who are probably called to full-time ministry or something can find that kind of time. But those who are not called to full-time ministry, what God is asking for is not even too much. But he's asking for something basic that you can make and have a quality walk with him. Are we here together? Glory to God. So we talked about the reasons why people draw back from God. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? Are you being blessed tonight? Number one, I said, is connection with what? Wrong association. As soon as you connect with the wrong people, your life will start going down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts what? Good manners. You know when he says do not be deceived, that means people are already deceived, that they can be friends with normal ordinary people are not born again, and still he said no, don't be deceived, they will corrupt you. You can't be smarter than God. The word of God says do not be deceived. Evil communication, you now say no, evil communication supports good manners. It can never, it will never work. Not in the next world. If you now come to the next world again, your friends that are unbelievers, they have the potential to pull you back. I'm always thinking, how will I now leave all my friends? Leave them. I've decided to follow Jesus. When I decided to follow Jesus, I left everybody. I felt stupid. I felt foolish because there was nothing to do between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. You know, the evil hours of the day where people are coming back and mo go see that babe. Mo go pray. Now, there she go come. I told you that we did this thing so much that we made a girl nearly close up her mother's business. We'll collect, they sell fish and potato and yam and those things. We will collect. Do you understand the wickedness? Because the mother is there. The wickedness that we portray. My guy will go with then maybe 10 naira. He will now give the girl 10 naira. She will sell food worth 100 naira for us. Potato, yam, give us fried fish, everything. Then we'll be going to the point where you are collecting your school fees. I guarantee you, I know this one very well. My friend was now collecting because the girl liked my friend so much and she wanted him. I became a partner. I started collecting money for school bag. My friend will collect his own money. Say, you know now, there's no phone, no phone that anybody's going. So we have to walk down. So when we walk down, we stand in front of the place. So the mom will be there. Mom, get in, fine, well done. We are draining her business. So the girl will give us fish, give us everything, put pepper for us. Ah, better customer, well done. Thank you, mommy. Hati leak go port mommy ton. Hey, the wickedness that men do. She will now come to a point. She will now sometimes when she packs that thing and she doesn't want mom seats, no nylon they will give you. She will now put the money for school fees. After 2 weeks consistently, you know, going to the Monday you go, Wednesday, Thursday, she will be able to gather the money. She will be taking, apart from giving us food, she will also take her mother's. I believe her mother would have said, I know they make profit again. They will be sweating hard and getting no results. The Lord has forgiven my sins. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's proof. In my own normal sense, will I be able to have liver to do that kind of thing? But when somebody knows what to do, are you going to say now? Yes. Many people do a lot of things to get extra money. We did that. Glory to God. Don't look at me like that. I'm a very nice guy. Me? Very nice guy. Number two, I said change of environment. Part of the things that make people draw away from God. Reasons why people begin to ghost God when they change environment and they feel they want to enjoy some things, they will now start a new life and they will abandon God. There are many people who started serving God in a particular environment, then all of a sudden, because they change environment, they became something different. You see them in the new environment, you can't believe. Ah, don't need that thing, my brother. You know, that time our eyes was blind, we are now seeing. Ah, that time you were seeing, now you are what? Blind. We didn't know many things that time. We didn't know. Let me tell you something. In this life, you are on your own. Oh, don't have plenty English. If you don't do what you should do, you are on your own. Oh, just to justify a new lifestyle that is messed up. Sometimes we realize that some people you see in a new environment, they were better than that before. It was the new environment that corrupted their hearts towards God. Are we here together? Next one we talked about is article in Sodom. Desires for worldly pleasure. You know, it's possible for you to get born again, but there are some things in the world you still desire. So you still desire your worldly songs. And Christians, I don't know about believers that come to Potter's here, but Christians will say things like, it doesn't matter now. And it's all this worldly song that they talk. Now, lie, no be person singer. It is say God not like the person with the singer. God like all of us. That's not what we are saying. We're not saying God doesn't love the person. God loves sinners. Am I making sense here now? But God will not support something that will cause people to do terrible things and live a bad life. Songs that are very sexually offensive, you know, and you're a believer, but you still have article in Sodom because you are connected to a particular music star. So the morning star is not yet your star. You get what I'm saying here? So this one is this. So that one is sharing place with God in your heart. So you do small here, you do small here. You have something in the world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. When you get born again, it is a beautiful life of separation from evil and devotion to God. That's what we call sanctification. Do we understand what I mean here? You begin to pull away from certain things and you begin to embrace the new life. And the more you pull away, the faster, the easier it is for you to embrace the glorious life that God has for you. If you decide to stay in between, you will be struggling long with a lot of things. It doesn't mean you are not born again now, but you see, your struggle with a lot of terrible things will be there and you cannot do much with God. And that's a bad place to be, because that can actually lead to apostasy. You will find something more. And Lot's wife exemplified that. She was looking back at Sodom. Maybe she left some things. The women association where they drink tombo at night. She was missing it. You know, whenever you're born again and you're feeling like you're missing some things in the world, something is wrong. Something is wrong. On Friday, the babes around you are carrying their bag and are going,
bye.
Then you now start crying. Your mind is that, and if I were not doing it. So Christianity is a burden. Like your faith has become a burden. You would that you do that. You know, you need to grow where people are going and your heart is agonizing in intercession for them and say, Jesus, would they have an encounter? Would they have an encounter? Then from praying for an encounter like that, in the midst of that prayer, you burst into unlimited joy of the new life you have found. It's not that you are regretting and say, then you now come back. Hey, come on, my guy just bought me iPhone 222. See. They don't buy Suya. They don't buy Sharma. Beam, Alpha, I want to chop. The Bible says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. There's a level in your spiritual walk with God. Eh? If by chance you find yourself living among people like that, you can confidently say, oh no. They say, this is your spiritual. No. I just feel somehow about this. Another opportunity to preach. I beg you, don't do it. Okay. Time will come, those people will be in their bathroom and they'll be thinking as they are bathing. They are doing something, they'll be thinking. But by the time they say, Sharma, don't show you to your time. How was the night now? How was the night? Oja Olonota. That you say, how was the night? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? So we must make up our mind. point where people who do those things around us, we don't hate them, but we cannot participate. So they know that there's something they are missing. You love them. You are the one loving up on them. You are the one, you know, paying attention to their needs and other things around them. But when it comes to those things, articles of Sodom, you say no. They say, why now? Ah, no, 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 my dear. It's okay. They know you love them, but they know you will not participate. The day they get born again, they will know that the life they were living didn't make sense. But what is the difference between the life they're living and your own? When everything they do, you do, the only thing is that you say, pastor say we should not be going, the people, but me now we don't know. You are part of those people that you are there, and somebody comes to visit somebody, you now leave the room for them. Oh, Burugon. Why did you leave the room? You're supposed to stay there and start playing my message, overcoming the flesh. Yes, you're supposed to stay there like, and you're playing a little bit loud, overcoming the flesh. Ashakapa yaba yaba yaba. Babe, what's up now? My dear, my spirit is leaping for joy today. Rushakapa yagaba. Ekora daradai jade. Man, don't radaciously behave here. But when you are that kind of person that they are doing that kind of thing, they now say, babe, I'll see you later now. Do you understand? Let me just pick a few things. In other words, you are saying, yeah, temporarily, this is your motel. I'll come back later. You are supporting evil. You are supporting evil. You are partnering with evil. Even law, in the legal parlance, if you do such a thing, you are aiding and abetting. You are assisting a person to do something that is evil. Or just ordinary law without God knows that when you do that kind of thing, you are supporting somebody to perpetrate evil. Then Christianity in God, you now feel like, I don't want to just disturb them. What exactly are they there you are disturbing? Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Many people would have been better off if the Christians around them stood their ground. They would have been better off. The reason we don't know the thin line between evil and righteousness today is because the Christians did not give the clear distinguishing mark. And it is too blurry. Sometimes you can't even see it again. Sometimes you now do it and I say your own too much. What? I don't understand. What is really too much? Go back to the Bible and read the Word of God. The Word is so much like the church. And in the church, it is just exactly almost like the world. And instead of us to repent of our sins and say, God, we are sorry, and start making amends, we are saying there's nothing wrong about it. It's just normal. And the Bible already said, go and read the book of, is it Titus? And some of the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. In the last days, the signs of the last days. Signs of the last days. These are some of the things. Signs of the last days. So you and I must say, no, I will not partner with this. I will not partner with it. May God give you strength and courage. Child of God, I say God will give you strength and courage. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Are you being blessed tonight? Yes. Yes. God is coming. Jesus is coming for a glorious church. Oh. Don't let anybody deceive you. He's coming for a glorious church. Glorious church without spots or wrinkle. Let anybody deceive you. Number two, what are we? Where are we now? Where are we now? Reasons why people draw back. I say wrong association, change of environment, article in Sodom. Yes. Number four reason is indulging in secret sin. The Bible says it. It said, "But your sin, your iniquity has separated you from God. Your sin has hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear you." The more someone indulges in secret sin, the harder it becomes to draw close to God. Because of the condemnation and the guilt that you feel. So you feel difficult. It becomes difficult to draw close to God. It becomes difficult to come, you know, to the place of worship, to the place of prayer, to the place of devotion, because your heart is dull towards God. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will do what? Wax cold. So sign that a person's love, when a person's love wax cold, it is one of the signs or proof is that iniquity is lurking somewhere. Iniquity is secret sin conceived in the heart. Sin planned in the heart, waiting for execution, manifestation. Or has been even in the heart, you have even done the act. Number five, church hurt. I said, what are we talking about now? Yes, somebody feels like I've been hurt by the church. Now, you see, a church can hurt. Some people say church hurts them because of that. They are not going to anyone again. No. There's another one. There will be another one. Now, it doesn't mean that this other one, that they are also perfect. The only thing is that there are different things that can make people leave a particular place. Some places, it is manifest wickedness. Just imagine a place where the leader is into all manner of terrible acts and behaviors, and they condone it among their leadership, and they're living anyhow. You don't want to stay there. You just know that this can... No. You know, that's okay. In that sense, you are not really probably hurt, but you just feel like, I can't be here. A place where you know that nothing is working. Are you get what I'm saying now? But when people say, oh, the reason why I was offended by so-so person and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If you're offended by so-so person and really the offense is right, it doesn't mean that you stop going to church. Like I said, there will be another church. And even going to another church, sometimes people are offended is because they have not been taught the depths of spiritual maturity. People will always offend you. Always offend you. Offenses will come. There's a sermon I'm going to teach. I don't know when, but I planned it and I've written it down already. I'm going to teach about the church hurts and other things, you know, because people can be genuinely hurt. Leadership can make mistake and hurt people. It doesn't mean that God made mistake. So you are not leaving God. You are leaving that system. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So you will still go to church. You still fellowship with other believers and you let go of that one from your heart. But you know that that environment is not where you can thrive again for whatever reason. Am I communicating? Yes. Because what is done there is manifestly wrong. Do you get what I'm saying now? Yes. But to carry hurt of things that are just ordinary. Maybe you had a fallout to somebody and it was a gossip matter. You now got angry. And somebody thinking, no. It's not like that. You should be mature enough to know that the same things they did to Jesus, they will do to you. Are you get what I'm saying now? And sometimes the hurt usually comes from entitlement mentality. I have done this. I've given all my life. For instance, somebody said, I've given all my life to the choir. The choir too gave their lives. It's just like an instrumentalist now, maybe he's playing. And he believes, I've been playing all my life. All the people that are sitting there, what are they doing with their own life? The people at the back of, what are they doing with their own life? All of us are giving our lives to Jesus. Is that not? So because of one hurt, maybe he now feels, maybe Prince now, Prince. That's right, Prince. Maybe he now starts feeling like, they are not even seeing all the things. Who told you nobody's? If nobody's seeing, who says God is not seeing? How much reward can any man give you on earth? But when you're spiritually mature, you come to the place of understanding. That entitlement mentality that, I have done this. Now, some churches also make mistakes where the way they should have responded to people, they didn't respond. But like, you must know that sometimes it's a mistake that is made as an oversight. But if it's something that has become the character and the culture of the place, it's a different thing. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? So that is a different situation. So don't allow the fact that you are hurt pull you away from God. Many people pulled away from God because they felt hurt in that system. Yes. Number six, past mistakes. Okay, maybe somebody did something in church, and as a result of what the person did, the person was suspended and feels like, oh, I cannot cope again with this environment. Never. I cannot do that. The ideal thing is to serve the suspension that you are given and follow. Because you cannot be wrong and be right at the same time. If you are wrong, you are supposed to go through discipline. Except again, like I said, where the system is toxic. Where a system is toxic, there's almost nothing you can do about it. Are we getting what I'm saying now? It's just absolutely toxic. But no, if the system is okay and you know that what you did was wrong and you were punished for it, you now say, because of that, I'm angry. No, you did wrong. Except you can do wrong and the system is toxic too. That's a different thing. But the system is not toxic. You did wrong. And there's a discipline or whatever. I say, okay, because of that, you're going to be in suspension for 2 months. I say, no, never. Not me. It's pride. And he resists the proud but gives more grace to the humble. I've seen somebody who grew in a church. The young man made a serious mistake growing up in the church. And somehow the pastor decided to discipline him as a son. And when the pastor disciplined him as a son, he went through that discipline. Everything eventually emerged as someone in the pastoral training school and became a pastor in the church and became somebody qualified to be one of the top pastors in the church. So anytime somebody has an issue where they make mistake and they are feeling, he's the example. To say, I've been there. I served it too. I made mistake. I've been there. He's very bold to always tell them that, see, look at, let me tell you something. I made mistakes. and pastor treated me like this and did like, and I knew he was doing it for my own good. The question is now, look at my life. Does it look like anything bad? Can't you see? And God has really blessed the person. Life changed. Why? Because they decided to go through the process. Some people lose strong connection because of mistakes they made. If you made a mistake, it is not the reason why you should lose a strong connection. Except if the system is toxic. And you know that no matter what, I cannot still thrive here. Do we understand what I'm saying here? Where are we now? The next one is old church member syndrome. I talked about that on Sunday. Familiarity can bring complacency. You have become too familiar with church. You have become too familiar with God. You have drawn back. Before, when you started, you attend midweek service. You attend church service. Nothing has changed. But you don't have time for midweek service again. You don't have time for other church activities again. You feel like people, they go there. This Sunday is okay now. We don't do Sunday. Waiting remain. No. There are some people who are maybe in transit right now, and they are watching and listening to the service online because they cannot be here. There are some people who do not even stay around the whole of this vicinity throughout the week till on weekends. That's understandable. You understand? But there are some people, nobody will stop them, nobody will disturb them, but they just feel that it is not convenient. And I've said it, you don't serve God based on convenience. You serve God because it is demanded that we give our best. So that if somebody can do that, go that extra mile and sacrificially do the things you do it. And for some people, the only reason why they are very committed is because they are the leaders, HODs. If they take away the position, they are off. That means from day one, God is seeing your heart that you were never there. It happens a lot in different settings. And when I was on campus, I usually tell my students, if they remove you from leadership position, you are cold. You were never hot. You were just doing activity. See, I'm no longer an executive now. That's why he didn't come. I got busy. My project. My slippers. And that's why some people who are not in any position in church, one position, they will get 20, 50, 100 times more reward than some people who are in position. Because the only reason some people are active is position holding them. You have to check your heart. You need to check your heart and say, God, is it because if I happen not to be a leader and there is no rule in the executive or the leadership of the church that they will pay 2,000 or that if you are late. Yeah. Some people come to church early because of the leadership of the church. Not because they want to come early, because they are leaders and they have marked calendar. So no. Whereas some people, they are not leaders, but they have formed the habit of appearing before God right on time. Check our hearts. Search yourself. And that's why you'll be surprised. There'll be surprises in heaven. No, it's not pastor, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist self that will get their best of rewards. It might be that innocent, simple member that does not have any of portfolio, but is committed and devoted, serving God in spirit. When they say we're going to be here by 6 time, the person is there. Not because they don't have things to do. Some people even close their shops earlier during the course of the week on Tuesday to be in church. And you get what I'm saying? Some people grow to the point in their office where their boss is telling them, today is Tuesday, fast so that you can go on time. Because their boss knows that they are going to serve God. But some other people, the only reason is because I'm a leader. That heart is already polluted. That heart cannot receive one small reward like this. Is it because I'm a pastor, that's why I have to show up in church every Sunday? What if I am not? Will I still show up in church? That is what we call heart check. Are we getting what I'm saying here? Glory to God. Another thing that can cause people to... Where are we? What are we talking about now? Draw away from God. Unanswered prayers.
I pray. God didn't answer me. I just got tired.
Many people draw back from God because they prayed and they felt that their prayers were not answered. And because they didn't get answer from God, they got discouraged. Unanswered prayers. Now, child of God, listen to me. It's not all the prayers you pray that will bring, God will give an answer to immediately. The Bible says we should follow those who through faith and patience obtain the promise. Does it mean God has not heard? God hears all prayers, but doesn't answer all prayers. Some prayers are not meant to be answered because in the divine scheme of things, there is a synchronization of multiple chronoses to bring about the agenda of God. Wait. I doubt if we want to hold that kind of grammar. So what I'm saying is this. If in the agenda of God, your time, my time, your own, if my kairos, not chronos now, kairos, if my kairos defining moment of my life is attached to your own defining moment, even if I'm praying for 20 years where I am, say, God, this year I must marry, and the kairos of this other person is in 3 years' time, I will be praying for the next 3 years, because the fullness of time is the synchronization, that's the coming together of two kairos, defining moments in the plan and agenda of God. No matter how much I pray and cry, God will let me know that you have to wait, because it is the birthing of this person's joy that is the manifestation of your own. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So it is not about the long praying. And that's why sometimes you pray to the point where you say, Father, let your perfect will be done. It's a very good prayer. And Jesus Christ ever exemplified that. He prayed and he said, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. You can be praying for a particular thing and it's not going to happen. The reason it's not happening is not because God doesn't want to answer you, but because there will be multiple destinies that will be attached together. The mother of Samson had prayed all her life to have a child, but the child will not come, because the child that must come, it is not yet time. And the manifestation of Samson is a time, in the time frame of God, there is a particular year where Samson has to be born and where he has to start and become a judge over Israel. The mother is here already, and normally every other woman is getting married at 24, 25. They're already having children. By the time they are 20, 55, they've entered menopause and they have closed entering children. Then God opens your own womb after menopause. Because in the timeline of things, Samson's manifestation will only show after certain other judges in Israel have played their own parts carefully. So you, wonderful woman, you will wait, because Samson cannot come now. Your prayer and your fasting notwithstanding. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? So you didn't do anything bad. There's nothing wrong that you have done. But there is somebody else whose timeline in God's plan and agenda has to synchronize with your own for the manifestation of God's plan and purpose. So don't always be discouraged when a particular prayer seems unanswered. Does it mean now, Pastor, that because of that, then I should just pray and say, God, I'm not praying about saying, you know, let your will be done. No. There is the place where it can also be that there are demonic forces holding on to something. So your prayer and persistence, that means faith and patience will be working together. As you are praying and you are persisting, you will pray to the point where God will give you peace in your heart. And you will know that it is time to stay in the place of rejoicing and thanksgiving. So whenever I pray about this thing, I am no longer crying. I am praying about it in hope that God will make all things beautiful in his time. Did I stop praying? No. But my hope is that he will make all things beautiful in his time. And hope maketh not ashamed. Are we getting what I'm saying tonight? Does it make any sense to us tonight? Is anybody understanding what I'm saying tonight? Thank you. So finally tonight, how do I reconnect with God? That's the major thing for, I'll just highlight it. They are basics, so I will not stress myself over it. So I can take questions. Number one, go back to God and build a consistent prayer life. Prayer is the foundation of your relationship with God. Consistent prayer invites his presence into your life and opens your heart to his divine guidance. Prayer. Now, there's something I missed out. What happens when you do not... Consequences, is that not? Yes, consequences of ghosting God. Number one, let me just write it down. Number one, walking out of God's purpose and alignment. If you ghost God, you don't hear the voice of God. If you don't hear the voice of God, you are in trouble. You'll be walking in error. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Number two, you'll be making wrong decisions. From the wrong decision of job, to the wrong decision of business, to the wrong decision of marriage, many people are in error life, because they ghosted God. When they should make good decisions, they could not hear the voice of God. And when they didn't hear the voice of God again, they made up their mind that since God is not saying anything, I'll do what I like. And if you do it, I guarantee you will cry. you will enter a long-suffering mode, not the righteous long-suffering, but the painful long-suffering. Life will be hard. If you walk outside the plan and the purpose of God, that's why you must stay in touch with God. Let God keep speaking to your heart. If you have not heard him, stay there. If you have not heard him, stay there. Because if you walk away, what your life will look like? Eh? What your life will look like? I beg you. There are some things that people have to stay with the consequences of their error till the day they die. You will live with the consequences of your error. 2, 3, 4, 5 generations will suffer the same thing because you walked out of the plan of God. So that's one of the consequences of ghosting God. Number 3, falling back into negative family patterns. I told you that you are supposed to be the beginning of a new order. And that's what God is planning for you. Then you now left God and started doing other things. The same pattern that has been affecting many other people in the family will fall back to you. So you repeat the same family pattern of error and pain and shame because you refuse to listen to God. Patterns are not strong. Patterns are proof that people are not disciplined enough to break free. Listen to me. Patterns are not that strong. They are just proof that people are not disciplined enough to break free. So if there's a pattern in my family, there is a particular discipline that God is calling me to so that I will not do the things that they did and I will not fall into their trap. If I refuse and I keep doing what they did and I fall for the same mistake they fell for, you will live the same life they live and it can be very miserable. And the miserable life of somebody in 2025 is not the same as miserable life in 2035. Life will be harder. Consequences, loss of peace and joy. You lose your peace, you lose your joy. Spiritual dryness and emotional exhaustion. You know when people are exhausted emotionally, you just know that, see, the person is just dry. Emotional exhaustion, you're just tired. People are even now irritated. They're coming to church. You don't match me. They're coming to church. They're acting as if they're irritated. The whole of their system is just dry and tired. Whenever you're not in alignment, that's what you find. Then decrease spiritual sensitivity. You will not be hearing the voice of God again. And that one can lead to anything. 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 So, these are some of the things. So, on reconnecting with God now, number one is go back to God and build a consistent prayer life. Consistent prayer life. Consistent prayer life. Consistent prayer life. Build a consistent. Have a system and tell yourself, this is how I pray. Number two, engage in systematic study of the word. Don't study the word of God like mini, mini, mani, mo. Father, as a donkey. Study one, study two. We. Now, yeah, read today. What if you keep doing mini, mini, mani, mo every day? Every day. And you are just reading anything you like. You don't serve God like that. Are we getting what I'm trying to say now? Systematic Bible study. Systematic Bible study. You want to pick your scripture and say, I'm reading the book of James. I'm reading the book of Matthew. I'm reading the book of John, New Testament. Or I'm reading the poetic books this season. I'm studying the life of David. I'm studying the life of this. I want to understand the subject of holiness, the subject of purity, the subject of love. Systematic Bible study. And today it is very easy because you have your phones where you can decide to tell the whatever to give you scriptures and all the things related to love in the Bible. Your journey starts. You start reading. Anything you read that is so serious you don't understand, that is why we come for Bible study. You raise your hand. It doesn't have to be exactly in line with what we are saying. Part of the reason we actually do Bible study, we're supposed to create time always for question and answer. So that what people read during the course of the week that they don't understand, this is where they're supposed to get answer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here right now? Yes. I read this, I saw this. Because if you don't give that chance, people will believe all manner of lies and rubbish. And before you know it, Satan will take advantage. May God help us in Jesus' name. Yes. So, systematic Bible study, then fellowship with believers. Very simple. Regular attendance of church, fellowshipping with other believers is essential for your growth. The Bible says not forsaking the assembly. We have said that over and again. Number 4, connect with the right people. You cannot overemphasize the power of quality friendship. If you have a friend that is a person of integrity, it will be difficult for you to misbehave in the presence of that person. The person becomes your accountability partner. How many of us have accountability partners? Yes. Part of the things that helped when I was going to get married, my wife was the person that was with me as a friend. I had always told him about sexual purity and everything, and he has always believed the same thing. So while they were dating, his own relationship, he was following that trend, and I was also. So when I started my relationship, I always remind myself, I say, yes, forget, no touching, no kissing, no worry, we did here. You understand? We'll encourage ourselves like that. But if you don't have anybody that is like an accountability partner, you will continue doing wrong things, and nobody. In fact, you have some friends that will be encouraging. You are grown up now. You can make your decision. You're a big guy, a big girl. You understand what I'm saying now? Yes, you have guys that will be telling you that, forget that thing now. All right. If that's where that pastor they preach you, forget that thing. If you go online now, you go see what this is when they talk about those pastors. There are people who are not disciples. They are not disciples. If you hear people talking like that, they are not what? Disciples. They don't know the word of God. The question you should ask is, look at the portrait of the man that God has set before your life as a priest. Does it look like some of the things you are seeing? If it's no. And that's why the position of priesthood is very difficult, because you are supposed to be an example, not a perfect person, but a good example for somebody to follow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Yes. At least people can look and say, okay, we can follow this person. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So the things that we are teaching, are you seeing it in our lives? If yes, do it. We are not saying A and doing Z. Am I making sense here? Is anybody getting what I'm saying right now? So you have the whole confidence to say that I'm not saying this. And let me tell you something. If somebody is saying something and the person that you are looking up to eventually falls, it doesn't draw you away from God. Remember, like I said on Sunday, God is your source. That is man. Man might fall, but God is the one ever standing. He said, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Does it make any sense to us? Repent and seek forgiveness. If you are in that place, you need to talk to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry about spiritual dryness. I'm sorry about ghosting you. I'm sorry for drawing away from you. Then finally, you prioritize God. Always have the purpose of your relationship with God in mind. Have an eternal perspective. Now listen to me, let me say this. Everybody hear this. One day, you and I, everybody, don't let anybody deceive you, we will stand before the judgment seat of God and we'll give accounts. The Bible says every man will give accounts. Don't live your life without eternity in perspective. And having eternity in perspective means that I will not be alive here forever. Even if Jesus Christ, the trumpet does not sound in my lifetime, age will catch up with you and you'll be gone. And within that time frame that you live on the face of planet Earth, God is going to look at your life and analyze it. The Bible says everyone will give account of what he has done in the flesh. Everybody will give account. If you know that you are going to give account of something, how do you prepare? The Bible says knowing so much so that you see that the day is approaching. How do you prepare? Think about it. How do you prepare? You want to join a rebellious world that does not know God. Because everybody is doing it. All men are equal like that. All the men are like that. They always leave their wife and sleep with another person. You are not like that. You are not. Make up your mind. I will never be like that. Look at many young men. Many of you young men are not proud of your fathers. The reason many of you are not proud of your fathers is because of the things they did that you saw. Your hero messed up. Then things fall apart. Then look at you, the hero that somebody else is about to look up to. You're about to mess up and things will fall apart again. And the generational cycle of ungodly men, weak men, will continue. But if you truly open up your heart and say, no, I will be the perfect example by the grace of God and the mercy of God that my children can look up to, even as a woman, even as a man, you will see the kind of life. I know men that started this thing late. They started very late. But somehow their children saw the change in their lives. And towards the end of their lives, they were able to make amends. But it would have been better if you started well. Because truly, change is not easy. It's difficult. The older people get in life, the harder it is for them to change. Because of the multiple experiences that they have had, Satan begins to support all the things and tell them that there's nothing wrong. So I want to beg you, Jesus is going to come. Don't let anybody lie to you. The trumpet of God will sound. Those that are dead in Christ will rise. Hell is real, and people who do not believe in Jesus will perish and go to hell. Heaven is real, and those who have accepted Jesus will. But among those who have accepted Jesus, people will suffer loss. people will suffer loss. There will be rewards. You know, whenever we talk about people suffering loss in this context, people say, as far as I don't enter heaven. No, that's not how to live your life. In the coming world, do you know that in the coming world, people will be captains, governors, rulers, and the level at which people serve God now and their commitment and devotion is the same thing that we count in the coming world. The commitment, the faithfulness, the devotion and discipline of people in the coming world, when God is picking his own princes all over the nations, everywhere, where there will be no death and that will be eternal reign, he will still use the quality of people. Remember, the angels that fell, they are gone. The angels that God is still using since the beginning till now, still that Michael, see that Gabriel, see those solid ones. That's how the world will be. In the new world, it will still be those. In the new world, when you see those that followed God in spiritual stature, you will see the difference. You will know. Oh, you will know. I guarantee you will know. Why? Because they have rankings. They have reward. They have rankings. They have reward. Don't live your life casually. I want you to quietly pray tomorrow, this evening. I say, God, I receive help. I will not draw back from you. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Let me be the portrait of that wonderful woman that will raise those girls, that wonderful man that will raise those guys, that wonderful guy that will be an example to my friends, that wonderful lady that will be an example to my friends. Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me. Let me be that person that through my character and my attitude, many people will be turned back to God. The character of Jesus, let it be formed in me. Oh, Jesus. Go ahead and talk to God. Go ahead and talk to God. Go ahead and talk to God tonight and say, God, I receive help. I receive help. If you know you have been struggling in one way or the other, talk to God and say, Lord, strengthen me. If you know you used to be spiritually active before, but you drew back, I want you to repent in this service now and say, Lord, I'm bouncing back. And if you know that you have been among those who sneak, they trust you on the surface, but if they count the secret things that you have done, it's terrible. The pastor still sees you as somebody who is, oh yeah, but you know the terrible life. Repent before God. Repent. Repent before God. Repent before God. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad. I put my faith in Jesus. He'll never let me down. He's faithful through generation. So I will leave him now. He won't. He won't. He would fail. He would fail. He would. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As some of us here today, you're just making a decision to get serious with God. You started well, but you were discouraged. You derailed. Some of you, you made up your mind, I will never be committed to any activity in church. I don't want to be offended. I will never join any department. Nothing. I'll just be going to church. And God is seeing that that is not from a sincere heart of somebody who is really busy. It is from the heart of hurt. It's from the heart of pain of what you have been through. And some people, you are bought into an idea that people in family are selling. You say, church, they are using you. This one, that one. You and I know that you cannot hear this kind of thing and assume somebody is using you. No, you cannot. You cannot. You cannot. Think about the things that you hear in church from time to time. Things about family, about relationship, about your business, about your career, about your eternal destiny. All these things are for your profit, for your learning. And somebody stays outside there, all manner of junks flying everywhere on the internet, and you have believed some of those things. I want you to wipe, tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, flush my mind of all this rubbish. Every mindset that I have imbibed unconsciously. Negative mindsets, flush my mind of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. somebody under the sound of my voice, you are guilty, you're feeling guilty, and you feel because somebody who believed in you as one that they could look up to, you led them into sin, you led them into a terrible life, and you've been feeling guilty ever because that person has not yet returned to God sincerely. And now that you have found your own footing, you are wondering, how have I led this person so far that they cannot come? God will have you take an intercession. Take time out this particular month and start praying for that person passionately that they will come back to God. They will come back to God. You know that it was a step you took that drew that lady, that guy back. Pray, intercede that God will cause his fire to burn in their heart again, and that his mercy will be released. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in service today, you want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you want to make a commitment, you want to follow Jesus, you started well, they introduced you to church early, or you are from a foundation that is not a Christian foundation, but you have been hearing about things and you want to make a commitment to Jesus, can you please raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you wherever you are. Just quietly raise your hand wherever you are. I'll pray with you. Raise your hand wherever you are and say these words after me. Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I receive eternal life into my spirit, and I declare that I am born again, saved and sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you just said that prayer, it means that you have made up your mind to follow God. If you want to be consistent with your study, you need to have a plan. And our devotional affords you that opportunity. I'm saying it again and again. The constant prayer that I have prayed to God and I keep praying to God now, again, is that God will cause that angel that gives understanding, every time you open to read, that the angel that grants understanding will be by your side to explain and interpret things to you. You will not just see from the surface. You start seeing from the depths of the things in the heart, the will and the plan and purpose of God. In the name of Jesus. So I encourage you to see how you can get devotional and start reading. And don't always wait for anybody to tell you about it. You should be the one anticipating it and always prepare to get it every 2 months like that. It will help us. Then, when you are done reading a particular devotional, don't throw it away. When somebody gets born again, you preach to somebody and they get born again, that's the first gift you give to them. Don't worry about the dates when you're giving it to somebody else. Tell them the content is what matters. So you give to the person and let them start. Then you can keep in touch with the person. You understand? Keep in touch with the person to say, oh, what did you read today? You can even go for new believers. You can go and look for all the parts of devotional that has to do with Christian living, spiritual. Mark all of them and follow up on that. For instance, a new believer may not need, the first thing he needs might not be financial talk. But the devotional is well-rounded, so that we want well-rounded believers. So you can find a way to mark those ones that will benefit that person more that season. And as they grow, they will feed into every other thing. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.